English.
Hold on 1 second. Hello? Hey. Oh, yeah, the number is there. It's just in Skype or something like that. That's what the problem was. It's 218-486. Natalie's on her way in. You can start.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity of studying your word. I just pray that as we go through it, Lord, as we open it up, you open up our understanding, our wisdom, and fill us, oh Lord, into your Holy Spirit. Forgive us any wrong things we have done, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But these things we do ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Could you guys hear me? Hello? Yeah. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
How are you?
All right.
Am
I'm
I
sorry?
Interesting? Am I late?
No, you're right on time, actually.
Okay.
Okay. So this morning we will be looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
All right. And this morning we're gonna see exactly how God, from the beginning, has ordained everything that is now. All right. Are you guys there yet? When you're there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, in the beginning, we see here that this is the creation story. This is when God begins to create the world and begin to form light. And, you know, as you read down, you'll see the different things that he formed. But I want you to look at this not necessarily from the creation standpoint, but from our standpoint. God is actually talking to us here. We are, according to 1 Peter 2:9, a royal generation, a chosen people, who should show forth God's praises, who would call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? You guys there?
Yes.
Now, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Now, it's talking here about the earth, right? The earth is without form and void. The earth is nothing. It doesn't have any substance. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, take this back to the fall of man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When man fell from perfection.
3 1 7 4 2 3 1.
Okay?
5 is not available.
No, okay, but we have that in
Press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, when man fell from heaven, right? Or fell from perfection.
Mm-hmm.
He was without form and void. And darkness was upon his face, meaning darkness was upon his life. All right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, in the Bible and in prophecy, God, we see that what waters mean. Anybody knows what waters mean in Scripture?
It's many people.
People, right. And it says the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, we are the light. That we are the reflectors of the light of God. And even in this passage of Scripture, from in these four verses, God is showing us that even from the beginning, he has ordained his people to be alike. Now, the question is, how do we show that light? From day to day. Or even a better question, how should we show that light?
Well, I'm a big believer that what you put in comes out. And so from a more generalized point of view, by spending much time in sincere prayer and reading the Word of God, we learn and build a personal relationship with Jesus, and in that way, we tend to naturally just reflect what we've learned.
Mm. Okay, okay. Anything else? You mentioned prayer and spending time with God and having a relationship with God, right? That's a very important pastime, if you may. If you really want to spend time with God, if you really want to know God and reflect his light, you must have a relationship with him. And the reason I'm using this passage of Scripture from Genesis is because it has been ordained from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It has been ordained from the beginning. This is the homiletic explanation of, you know, the Bible and God's calling or God's plan of salvation for man from the beginning. It is found in the creation story. And from the beginning, God has called us and wants us to have a personal relationship with him so that we can reflect his light. And it is a dark world around us. We have a lot of things going on, you know, from people being violent to people killing their families and all these different things. And it seems as if nobody has the answer. I mean, if you don't, how do you find your way in a, you know, a dark room if there's no light? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so God has called us to be this light into the world. Now, the question is, another question I want to throw out there. We ask, how should we show this light? Are we presenting the light as it should be presented? are we, and I guess the second question could be, are we, or have we lost our sense of urgency to reflect the light of Christ? Or is it still there?
I just came in late, so I didn't know what the entire conversation was about. I don't think, per se, that we, as a church, have lost the light. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
I don't think we, as a church, well, on the individual level, I don't think so much we have lost the light. Our church as a whole has been branching out all over the world and proclaiming the Word of God, and as we've been preaching the Word of God. But in terms of a lot of people being on fire for God and have this passion and have this zeal to go forth and spread the Word of God, on that level, I think to a certain extent we may not have that passion anymore, but I think we still do have that light. I don't think the light is totally gone, but I think if we have a revival and more people become more passionate and more zealous, the light will become brighter, and that's why
mm-hmm.
what we're doing right now, you know, to get more people lit, if that's a correct term to use. So that's my perspective.
All right. Anybody else? Very, are you guys hearing me correctly? Are you guys hearing me right?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Now, it's very, you know, it's very important that we understand as well that the light here is Jesus, and it is also the Word of God. If you read that further, Jesus makes the lights, in verses 14, and it says, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Right? And it says, verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made also the stars." Now, homiletically speaking, all right, this refers to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. All right? How are we using the correct proportion and balance of the spirit of prophecy and the Bible to reflect the light that Christ shows or that is in Christ? Because a lot of times, and this is a reason I'm going through this, because a lot of times, you know, the Bible is not necessarily the basis for our belief. We look to the spirit of prophecy, and it's a balance. And more people use the spirit of prophecy, and more people use the Bible, or whatever the case is. So here, this God is saying that He made two great lights. When I use the word homiletic, I mean like it is applicable to, you know, other things. It can be applied to other things. Are you guys following?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So the balance in the spirit. How do we balance the spirit of prophecy in the Bible, or how should the process run? In terms of us reflecting the light, that is, because it's very important that we reflect this light to every single person we come into contact with. I was out yesterday canvassing in the fields, and I saw this guy. He had a book. I gave him a book, and he said he's atheist. I asked him if he reads the Bible. He said he's atheist. I give him a book. He starts asking me all these questions about how do you know that God is a creator and whatnot and whatnot and whatnot. And then he starts telling me that there is some rock that they found that predates the creation story. You know, and all these different things. And at that point, it was very tense for me because I didn't want to come off as I have, you know, everything right and you don't, or whatever the case is, even though that was, you know, kind of the case. But, you know, reflecting the light, how do we reflect the light in that manner using the spirit of prophecy and the Bible together?
Can you guys hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. I just wanted to make a comment on something that you said earlier in regards to the spirit of prophecy being the lesser light that points to the greater light, and also the what is the basis for our faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Millerite movement and then, of course, the Advent movement and a lot of the other movements that that began in the 1840s, it's always been the Bible and the Bible alone that has been the sole authority in determining our faith and what we believe in. Where the spirit of prophecy comes in is more on the lines of illumination and on further knowledge, where these people were studying the scriptures and based on the scriptures they would build a doctrine, but when they could go no further in terms of their understanding of that doctrine, that's when the spirit of prophecy would provide greater light on that subject. So it's important for us to understand why the spirit of prophecy is the lesser light pointing to the greater light, and that is because it's not a determiner of doctrine, but it is a enhancer. It's kind of like, you know, the great truth is, for example, that I went and bought a refrigerator. All right, but then after I can't go any further with that belief, then somebody comes along and gives more illumination or more detail on that subject. For example, they tell you the height of it. They tell you the width of it. They tell you how cold it can get. They tell you the color. All right, all those things I couldn't have gotten on my own. I could only have gotten, okay, I understand the basic principle. Okay, we do have a refrigerator. I just use that as an example. So my point was just to point out that the spirit of prophecy has never determined doctrine, but has only given further light and illumination on matters that were already established from the Bible. Because when we say that the spirit of prophecy determines our doctrines, then people will call us a cult because they believe, oh, well, these guys get their beliefs from the spirit of prophecy. They don't read the Bible. They're not solely basing everything on the scripture. But that's not true. That's the fallacy about the church. It has always been the Bible that has established our doctrines, and then the spirit of prophecy has just come to give us greater light and to point us back to Scripture for even more light.
Mm-hmm. Good point. You know, I think this is going to be my final Twitter thought here, final question. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was saying to me that it's very important that you know your Bible, especially in today's world. And, you know, I was like, I mean, I knew that, but, you know, I didn't really understand, you know, where exactly they were coming from. And she was having a Bible study with some people and so on and so forth, and they started talking about different types of food and whatever the case is. Acts chapter 10, where Peter saw this vision of these different beasts on this cloth or this sheet or whatever the case is coming down from heaven and so on. And them trying to relate that back to Leviticus 11 that talks about the different types of food that we should and should not eat. And so on and so forth. And she, you know what I mean? Like, the people that were doing the study with her were not comprehending the difference between those two, you know, occasions. And so, you know, how the question is, I guess, how important is it for us to know our Bible? And is it more so important today to know our Bible than before? And to have a relationship with Christ as before. Are you guys, hello, you guys hear me?
Yeah, I think so. And as you mentioned that, I remember the Bible class that John and Mr. William did last night. You know, they kind of touched that to a certain extent. And I remember, you know, they're talking. Of course, you got to know the Word of God. But I remember John making the point that sometimes when you're doing a Bible study or you're sharing faith with someone, sometimes like certain scriptures, you per se may not remember it. But during the study, the Holy Spirit may just bring certain things to your remembrance, and you're able to use that scripture to make a certain point and to make just to clarify the subject matter even more. And of course, when you're doing a study, you got to have proof from the scriptures. So of course, it's very crucial for us to know the Word of God. But at the same time, we are totally reliant on the Holy Spirit to bring those things back to our remembrance. You know, because for me, for example, to me it's hard to just to study scripture, memorize scripture. But I know if the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit with me and he's teaching me things, and, you know, in those critical moments, those scriptures will be revealed to me and come to me at the very, the most opportune time. So to answer your question, it's yes.
All right.
I would like to have something. I think it's very, it doesn't matter what time period that you're living in, it's very important to study the Word yourself and get to know God and that relationship with Him. Especially today, I see that it's very important because even in the church, you have everyone interpreting the Bible differently. Like, especially when I'm in Bible class, like I'm doing my studies, and then pastor have this interpretation, and I'm like, where did he got that from? And I realized it's very important to write down the scripture reference and go do my own research and not just listen to what everyone has to say. I just have to pray about it and do my own studies and ask the Lord to help me to comprehend what I need to study, because I realize that even now you have people confusing the Bible and having their own interpretation instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead them into understanding a particular text or topic.
That is so true.
True that. That is very true.
Yeah, certainly agreed. You know, I was looking at a scripture that talks about you know, the Word of God being a double-edged sword, and the fact that it pierces, and I was actually looking for the text online. I couldn't remember it offhand. But
Hebrews 4:12, I think it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. let me just get there real quick, and I think it sort of backs up what you guys were saying. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God, you know, breaks through all of that. It cuts. And it's true that, you know, it is definitely one of those things that is needed for all time. But in the last days, of course, we know that the love of many would wax cold, and so the Word of God is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it shows you where your faults are. It shows you what's wrong with you, and how much more would that be needed in the last days when the love of many will wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to study the Word of God, you know, throughout all time, so that we can know if we're close to God or if we need more work. And, of course, we find that we need more work. Now, in the last days, when wickedness begins to grow and wickedness is prevalent everywhere, then how much more should we need the Word of God to show us the thoughts and intents of our heart, to show us the problems, so that we can come to God and so that we can cling to Him closer?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add to how powerful the Word of God is, I mean, the Bible has every subject matter you could possibly think of. And I mean, no matter what your situation or whatever you're in need of at that time, when you get into that Word of God, the Word of God has this power to change and to, you know, do something great in your life. And I mean, if you need a word of comfort, if you need a anything. I mean, when you pick up the Word of God is able to shed light on certain subject areas and, you know, to do a change in your life just to support what everyone was saying. So, I mean, the Word of God is so powerful. It's such a great light to the point where imagine if this world didn't have that light. What would this world be like? You know, so it's a good light.
Very, very, very important. And, you know, as looking at the text and looking at the creation story, you notice that the first thing that was created was light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to compare that with something found in the Gospels, well, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. The first thing that must come is the light, the Word of God, Jesus. We need to have a personal relationship with him. We need to know the Bible. It is very important that we know the Bible because, especially in these last days, God will place us in positions and in places where we would have to minister a word unto someone who is dying. Not necessarily dying physically, but dying spiritually. And it will be counted against us if we do not know the word as we are supposed to know it or as we should know it. And if we're not spending time to get ourselves acquainted, because when we pray and when we get we have a personal relationship with God, it's not just only for us. God wants you to have a personal relationship with him and know his word and know him so that everyone who you come into contact with, you should be able to tell them about the love of God, the love of Jesus.
Right.
That's why in 1 Peter, I think it is chapter 3, verse 15, he says, sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and always be ready to give a man the answer for the hope that liveth in you with meekness and with fear. And so God is not just calling us to have a personal relationship with him because of our own sakes, but because of the sakes of other people. And I think it's the spirit of prophecy that tells us that it is in the last days that only the Christians or some Christians would be the only thing close to Jesus that they would see. The people in the world will be looking at us and they would be seeing Christ in us. And that will be at that time, at that moment, because of the rapid events and how things are moving so quickly. That will be the only time that God, the only time or the only thing close to Jesus that some of them will be able to see, because they may not be able to get a sermon. They may not be able to get baptized and all that kind of stuff because, you know, they will not be timed. There will be so much distress of nations and so on and so forth. And so the point of this morning's devotion is that we should not lose our consistency and our fire for the Word of God and for having a relationship with Christ, because in so doing, we're amputating ourselves and we also potentially amputated other people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so we want to keep our sense of urgency, knowing that Christ is coming soon, and not become complacent in studying the word and sharing the word as well. It's not always good to just hear a word from the pastor, and then go out and spread to other people. So I just want to leave that with you guys this morning.
Amen.
Food for thought. And it's all already past the time. Anybody has any questions or issues they want to add?
I just feel the need to study the Word of God more. The common theme from last night to now is just knowing the Word of God more. And that's pretty much something I need to spend more time, more time than ever in Bible study. That's what I got out of it.
All right. All right. All right, then. Well, we are going to pray and to end this session. Can we ask Ms. Melissa to pray for us?
Okay, then. Okay, let us pray. Dear Holy Father who art in heaven, just like to thank you, Lord, for another wonderful day that you woke us up this morning, dear Lord, so that we can study your word and just spend our quality time with you, dear Father. And dear Lord, you see the emphasis this morning with the study of your word, dear Father. Please send your Holy Spirit to tabernacle with us, dear Lord, and help us to search the scriptures daily so we can know more about you and so that we could be more effective in living that life that could represent you and bring more people to you, dear Father. Dear Lord, please continue to use us in every way that you possibly can so that we can reach those who are dying in the world spiritually and mentally. Dear Lord, help us to be a source of light to them, dear Father. Help them, more people to draw closer to you and help us to be strong, dear Lord, and courageous, and let our light never die, dear Father. Please be with everyone as they go about their daily business today, dear Father. Continue to be with them. Watch over them. Be with their family and friends, and just keep us all safe, dear Lord. Thank you for all that you have done, and continue to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, guys, you all have a wonderful, blessed day. It's raining down here, but I'll try to stay warm and dry.
Okay, serious. Melissa, is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.